Françoise de Graffini was born in 1695, just a year after Voltaire, into a family of minor provincial nobility. Her father was a military officer in the service of Duke Leopold of Lorraine at the court of Lunéville. She was married at the age of 17 to François Huguet de Graffini, who came from a respectable, prosperous family, but who was also a drunkard, a spendthrift, and violent. And the marriage was very short, and it was disastrous, and Françoise de Graffini obtained legal separation from her husband on grounds of brutality after 6 years of marriage, having first borne him three children, none of whom survived infancy. By 1733, so when she was 38, both her parents had died, her husband had died, she got no obvious means of support. She was still living at the court of Lorraine and became companion to the Duchess of Richelieu. And at that point, she begins to play an active part in the cultural life of the court. And she forms two very significant friendships. One is the start of a love affair with the son of the court composer by name Léopold Desmarais. And they have a passionate affair that lasts for nearly 10 years. And then she begins a close friendship with a law student called François-Antoine Devaux, who's 17 years younger than she is. And it's with Devaux that Graffini corresponds right to the end of her life. And it's this correspondence which is now recognised as one of the most important correspondences of the 18th century. After the Treaty of Vienna in 1737, which leads to the independence of Lorraine, the ducal court at Lunéville disperses and Graffini has to leave. So she follows her protectress, the Duchesse de Richelieu, to Paris, first passing via Cirey, which is where Voltaire is living with his mistress, Madame du Châtelet. And she stays with the Voltaire and du Châtelet for about 10 weeks, leaving in February of 1739. In some disgrace, in fact, she's accused unjustly of making a copy of one of Voltaire's unpublished satirical verses. When she arrives in Paris, there follows a couple of years of significant financial hardship following the death of the Duchesse de Richelieu in 1740, so just a year or so after she's arrived in Paris. But she then moves into the literary circle of Jeanne Quinault, who's a retired actress, and the Comte de Caylus, who encourage her to write, and she publishes first a short story, then a fairy tale, and then begins writing The Letters of a Peruvian Woman in 1745, and it's first published in 1747. And at that point, her fortunes change completely. The novel is a huge success. She forms her own salon, which attracts many of the major literary public figures of the day, Voltaire, Prévost, Rousseau. She also tries her hand at the theatre, writing moral fables for performance at the court of Vienna, and a sentimental comedy called Cenie, which is an enormous success in Paris. Her reputation becomes European-wide. Her works are translated into English, German, and Italian throughout the 1750s. And she produces an extended, illustrated second edition of the Letters of a Peruvian Woman. She died in 1758.